You are Locked On Bills, your daily Buffalo Bills podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's up, Bills Mafia? It's Joe Marino from the Draft Network, and I'm your host of Locked On Bills. Happy Tuesday to you. It's time for Herd Mentality, the podcast each week where you take control of the discussion with the items that you send in. And we've got a lot of good stuff to get into today. We'll kind of tie a ribbon on the Ravens game and start to look ahead to the Chiefs game a little bit. And of course, get into all the high-level discussion based on the questions that you send in. So let's get into it. The first one comes from Justin, also very similar to one sent in by Jonesy. Justin says, my question is that before the start of the season, you said if Brian Daboll did not get a head coaching job, that might be concerning. Now, knowing what you know, do you think we should be thankful for not losing him? Is there any reason you can think of as to why he is not being hired as a head coach? Well, I think we should be very thankful because there is a lot to be said for continuity, for continuing the relationship between Josh Allen and Brian Daboll. Another year of volume under their belt in terms of the plays that they'll have at their disposal to run next year. It's a net positive for the Bills. And obviously, I think the shock to me was that he didn't get the Chargers job, which seemed like a slam dunk. You know, Tom Telesco from the same area as Brian Daboll. They went to high school together. You think about Justin Herbert and Josh Allen, and you can identify some similarities in their physical gifts. And really thought for Justin Herbert, it would be the best thing for him to get Brian Daboll. But of course, the Chargers go with Brandon Staley, the Rams defensive coordinator. And so I'm surprised, and it doesn't look like Brian Daboll is going to land a head coaching gig for next year. And so he's going to be back as the Bills offensive coordinator. So I can't think of one negative that comes to mind when it comes to him returning to the Bills. But when I think about why he didn't get a job, I think what it comes down to is that I think from a dynamic personality perspective, he doesn't really check that box. I don't really doubt his leadership ability. I don't question his scheme. I don't question his ability to have great relationships with players. But if you're looking for that dynamic figurehead, I'm not sure Brian Daboll checks that box. And so as owners and general managers look to make a splash and they want to win the press conference, maybe Brian Daboll doesn't give you the warm fuzzies of doing that. But I don't know. We'll see next year. I mean, he didn't get the Cleveland job. Kevin Stefanski got that and didn't get the Chargers job or any of the jobs this cycle. So maybe the NFL doesn't really see him as a head coach and think he's best suited to be a coordinator. Jillian says, you said on a previous podcast that you thought the Bills season would be over whenever we met the Chiefs. Has your perception of either team changed since then to make you feel less confident in that? It's a fun question. It's a good question. I need to sort out my thoughts over the next couple of days before I let you know my prediction, which I'll give you on Friday. I do feel more confident today than when I said that in believing that the Bills could win this football game. I think the Bills have been a better team than the Chiefs when you look at the season in totality. Now, they have some advantages. They're at home. They've played in this game the last three seasons. You know, it's not a stage that they haven't been on. They've met the moment. They've advanced to the Super Bowl. They've won the Super Bowl. And it's a Bills team that's in the AFC Championship game for the first time since 1993. So there's a lot of really nice advantages that the Chiefs have. And I think the Bills can win this game. I'm not sure if I'm going to predict that. You can find that out on Friday. But your question was, has your perception of either team changed since then to make you feel less confident in that? And I think the answer to that is absolutely yes. Harry says, things I love. Design quarterback runs. Give me 5 to 6 per game. We need that versus Kansas City. Things I hate. Tywan Jones getting offensive snaps, especially him lined up out at wide receiver. How would you like to see the running back snap count? I'm 70% Singletary, 30% Yeldon, 0% Jones. I'm probably close to that. I'm probably 80-20 Singletary versus Yeldon. I don't really need to see Taiwan Jones play offense. So, yeah, give me all the Singletary I can get with a little bit of Yeldon sprinkled in when Devin needs a breather. Ray says, what is the NFL concussion protocol step by step? Where do you see Mahomes in this process, given the info we have at the time from when you read this? Before I get into the concussion protocol step by step, which I'm going to give you here in just a moment, I want to be abundantly clear about something regarding Patrick Mahomes and his health. I want Patrick Mahomes to be healthy as quickly as possible and to play on Sunday night. I understand the storyline, but no means am I rooting for him to not play. His health is first and foremost, and he shouldn't play if he's not able and it's safe for him to play. But if Patrick Mahomes can be healthy, I want him to play, and I hope he's 100%. I'm not here for the Bills getting a cheapie over a Chad Henne quarterbacked Chiefs football team. I want the Bills to be the best team in the NFL because they beat the best teams in the NFL. So I don't have much interest in not seeing Patrick Mahomes and a healthy Patrick Mahomes on Sunday night. Perhaps that's an unpopular take. Perhaps you're listening to this and you hope Patrick Mahomes doesn't play. I don't align with that thought process. So what is the concussion protocol? This is exactly what the NFL states. Number one, the player is prescribed rest until the signs and symptoms and neurological examination, including cognitive and balance tests, return to baseline status. Number two, under direct oversight of the team's medical staff, the player should begin graduated cardiovascular exercise and may also engage in dynamic stretching and balance training. Number three, the player continues with graduated cardiovascular exercises that are increased and may mimic sport-specific activities, and supervised strength training is introduced. Number four, the player continues cardiovascular strength and balance training and participates in non-contact football activities, for example, throwing, catching, running, and other position-specific activities. Number five, upon clearance by the team physician for full football activity involving contact, the player must be examined by the independent neurological consultant assigned to his club. If the independent neurological consultant concurs with the team physician that the player's concussion has resolved, he may participate in the club's next game or practice. So that's the five stages. I don't know where he is at this point because it's only Monday when I'm recording this podcast, and I have no idea what he's done to this point to even guess where he is in the protocol, but I hope he gets through it very quickly and that he's healthy. Edgar says, I was wondering, what do you think is better? Mahomes playing and the Bills getting a great matchup and may the best team win, or Mahomes not playing, opening the door for the Bills to go to the Super Bowl? Honestly, I prefer for Mahomes to play. I don't want us to advance to the Super Bowl because of circumstances. I prefer for the Bills to earn it. With you all the way, Edgar. I want Mahomes, I want him healthy, and I want to go to the Super Bowl because the Bills earned it. Are we ready for some football? The NFL playoffs are in full swing, and conference championship weekend is just around the corner. There's only one place that has you covered and one place that we trust, and that's betonline.ag. Sign up today for a free account at betonline.ag and use promo code LOCKEDON for a 50% welcome bonus. Maybe you want to put some cash down on the Bills against the Chiefs, or you like another team's chances. Maybe you want to do some prop bets. BetOnline.ag has the best lines in the business. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore. Get in on the action. And don't forget to use that promo code LOCKEDON to receive a 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Next one comes from BMormon2020, who says, Cole Beasley didn't have any catches this week. Was it worth not giving him a rest week for what he brings by just being a guy you have to cover? I think that's a fair question, but the value that Cole Beasley brought to the Ravens game, despite not catching any passes, was that it drew the assignment of Marlon Humphrey in the slot. And maybe if Cole Beasley didn't play in this game, that they would have been more inclined to use Marlon Humphrey out wide and matched up against Stephon Diggs and John Brown. And so While Cole Beasley didn't catch a pass, and he was only targeted twice, the fact that Marlon Humphrey was occupied with him and Stephon Diggs and John Brown pretty much ate the entire game, I think that was the value in having Beasley on the field. So no catches, but still a very useful and productive role that Beasley played against Baltimore. Daniel says, did you like the offensive play calling in the first half? I understand that the thinking is let our best player, Josh Allen, keep the ball in his hands, but I think a few sprinkled in runs or bringing a wide receiver across on a reverse would have helped. What are your thoughts? Well, I mean, when you look at the first half, the Bills scored 3 points. And so it's fair to bring everything into question when it comes to the offense. And part of that being play calling, where the Bills were very, very skewed towards the pass. I mean, very few running attempts. I think only a couple. So, yeah, the fact that their output was so poor throughout the game, I mean, they only scored 10 points on offense, 3 in the first half. They had 220 total yards. I think it's fair to bring everything into question. I will say this. We have to remember that this Ravens defense a week ago held Derrick Henry, who rushed for 2,000 yards during the regular season. They held him to 18 rushes for 40 yards. You can't bang your head against the wall just for the sake of balance or even tightening things up to try to get like a 60-40 pass-run ratio. So I appreciate where Brian Daboll came, because I don't think if the Bills ran the ball more that they would have had more success. I think there would have been an equal amount of frustration with ineffective runs for the sake of doing it, so that you have more balance. But again, you score 3 points in the first half, 10 points on offense overall, 220 total yards. Yeah, bring everything into question, because things could have been done different and potentially more effectively. Next one comes from Paul, who says, although I fully agree we do not need to balance run and pass, I did feel that with Baltimore not blitzing, there should have been more space and running lanes to take advantage of in the first half. I feel we were slow to respond. The Bills only ran 22 offensive personnel plays in the first half, so I wonder if they overscripted the early game plan. I'll say this, and again, I don't want to repeat and give you the same line of thinking that I did with Daniel's question that was pretty similar, but I think while Baltimore didn't blitz as frequently as they have in the past throughout the course of the regular season, they still showed blitz looks, and so it's hard to, in the moment, without the benefit of hindsight, say that because they didn't blitz as much that the play calling and execution could have been different, because they still gave the look and impression that they were going to blitz. And so that's an unenviable position to be in if you're Josh Allen, who has the authority to make checks and audibles at the line of scrimmage, and Brian Daboll, who you're trying to call a game based on tendencies, and they're doing everything that they normally do, the guys just aren't coming. And so that's a very difficult position to be in. And so I just think that we have to be mindful of that. They still showed blitz. They just didn't come with the same frequency as they had in the past. Kevin says, Josh's deep pass attempts were all over the place, missing open receivers several times. Is this something to monitor or be worried about, or is it just the wind effect? Yeah, I think it a lot of it is the wind, and I don't think there's any reason to panic. Yeah, he was 1 of 7 on passes aimed 20 yards or more down the field against Baltimore, but for the regular season, he had a passer rating of 103 on attempts targeted 20-plus yards down the field. He was 4 of 5 last week against the Colts, 3 of 5 against Miami, and so I think this was a one-off. There's context that we have to be mindful of. It's the wind and the fact that the Baltimore Ravens have a really good secondary and they're good man coverage cornerbacks. And so you wish he was a little bit more efficient and had more success. But I'm not willing to push the panic button, because I do have a large sample size week one until the Ravens game, where Josh Allen was an above average deep ball thrower. RockAuto.com is a family business that's been serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. Go to rockauto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. They have everything from engine control modules and brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpet. Whether it's for your classic or daily driver, get everything you need in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. The rockauto.com catalog is unique and remarkably easy to navigate. You can quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle and choose the brand, specifications, and prices that you prefer. Best of all, prices at rockauto.com are always reliably low, and the same for professionals and do-it-yourselfers. Why would you spend up to twice as much for the same parts? Go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Make sure you write Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know that we sent you. They have amazing selection, reliably low prices, and all the parts your car will ever need over at rockauto.com. Next one comes from Tony, who has a couple of good questions for us. The first one is, any chance we see Antonio Williams or Devonta Freeman this week, given the need to get a more balanced run game? Well, maybe. Is there a need to have a more balanced run game? Is Antonio Williams or Devonta Freeman a better player than TJ Yeldon? Because the Bills are only going to have two running backs active. Devin Singletary and, to me, it's TJ Yeldon. I think TJ Yeldon's the best backup running back the Bills have behind Devin Singletary. And so I don't think activating Freeman or Williams helps achieve balance or upgrades the run game in any way. So, no, I don't. I think we're going to see Singletary and Yeldon again, and those guys provide depth should one of those two guys go down. But the Bills only dress two running backs on game day, you know, not including Taiwan Jones, who is a special teams player. So you're saying that Freeman or Williams is an upgrade over Yeldon, and I'm not convinced that either one of those players are an upgrade over Yeldon. Number two was, now that our draft position is secured to be 29th or worse, what do you think about taking Clemson running back Travis Etienne in the first round, or is that too early for you? Well, two things come to mind. First of all, I don't like taking running backs in the first round. Second of all, when you think about the low-hanging fruit that exists to improve the Bills' offense, remember, the number one scoring offense in the AFC, it's having a more dynamic running back situation. And if you can get Travis Etienne, you add an extremely dynamic football player, a guy with rare burst and acceleration, good vision contact balance, good catcher of the football. Now, where he really fails is in pass protection. He's very poor in pass protection, and it's kind of the primary function of a running back in this Bills offense. It's like Corey Bajorquez, right? The punter. The Bills don't necessarily need a guy that's going to consistently pin teams inside the 10 because they don't really punt very frequently in situations where that's going to be a possibility. What they need is a guy that can flip the field position with booming punts when they're backed up in their own territory. So on one hand, you get that dynamic playmaker in the backfield that would bolster an already elite offense, but you lose out on pass protection because Travis Etienne, for as much as I've watched him play, and to my surprise, he returned to Clemson this year, I don't think he's very good in pass protection. So it's tough for me. But you know what I've been saying a lot here is that I think it's important to continue investing in your strengths. I haven't completely come around on the idea of Etienne, but I'll tell you, I'm warming up to it. Steve says, taking emotion out of this question, would you trade Leslie Frazier for 2 third-round picks? That's the compensation if Leslie gets hired by Houston. Do you have any inside info or thoughts on Dable being passed over? I shared my thoughts on Dable being passed over earlier in the podcast, but the question here is, would I trade Leslie Frazier for 2 third-round picks? I don't think I would. I don't think I would. I think Leslie Frazier continuing as the defensive coordinator for the Buffalo Bills is better than having those 2 third-round picks. It will make me feel better about losing Leslie Frazier, knowing that Brandon Bean has a couple of, you know, top 100 picks at his disposal because of it. But I think it would be more meaningful to the team and better for the team to not have the extra third round picks and have Leslie Frazier continue as a defensive coordinator. Tim says, with the benefit of hindsight, any thoughts on week 17? There was some criticism of playing as many of the starters on offense, but looking at who we rested on defense, Trey White, Jerry Hughes, and Mario Addison, and how well this defense has played, I wonder if this was overlooked. There's so much that this coaching staff truly seems to get right. Go Bills. I don't have any questions about what happened in week 17. And while we are really excited about how well this defense performed against Baltimore, they didn't play great against Indianapolis. So if the season ended against the Colts, let's say that they tied the football game and they win it in overtime. If the game, if that's it, if that's the end of the season for the Bills, and it was that defensive performance coming off of those guys resting against Miami, I think we would see this very differently. Now, they survived in advance against Indianapolis and played lights out against Baltimore. Do I go back to week 17 and the fact that the Bills rested White, Hughes, and Addison and say that was a contributing factor in why they were so effective against Baltimore? I'm sure it probably helps because those guys were healthy and fresh, but they weren't very good against Indianapolis. And I am eager to praise the Bills coaching staff for a lot of things. I'm not sure I'm all the way in on this one. I'm glad that they rested, but I don't think the reason that they rested is why the Bills were so good against Baltimore. Ryan says, I just want to say that Deion Dawkins is that guy. People doubted him early on, but he's the stalwart on the offensive line. Second, Trent Murphy, if he didn't earn his paycheck tonight, how can he? He's not multifaceted, but he does one thing really well. P.S., I cried after this game, but don't tell my friends. Yeah, so Deion Dawkins, right, he got paid, and he's still playing at a high level. I think he was outstanding as a rookie. He was outstanding in year three. He's been outstanding this year. He had, you know, some bumps along the way in year two, but, you know, he went from having Richie Incognito, a Pro Bowl guard next to him, to like Vladimir Ducasse and Wyatt Teller as a rookie. So and Russell Bodine at center. So I hardly blame him for his performance in 2018. But what I think this is a good opportunity to bring up is how many Bills players excelled and really took off in year three, Deion Dawkins being one of them. Josh Allen being another. How about Trey White in year three? He was an all-pro in year three. Matt Milano in year three. Taron Johnson in year three. You know, it feels like there's a little bit of a trend here when it comes to Bills rookies and them kind of peaking in year three, which should give us a lot of optimism about what Ed Oliver can do next year as he will be entering his third season in the NFL. As far as Trent Murphy, I think he certainly earned his paycheck against the Baltimore Ravens, but I didn't really have any issues with him being inactive before that because I think he's mostly an ineffective player, but he delivered against Baltimore for sure. And then you mentioned you had some emotion there after the Ravens win. Maybe this was just me, but I felt more emotional after the Colts win than the Baltimore win. Maybe it's because it felt like the game was secure earlier against Baltimore, and it was just kind of waiting for the game to end. But the Colts game brought me to a deeper emotional place than the Baltimore win did. I'm not sure. I'd be interested. Was that true for you guys? Which game, you know, evoked more emotion from you, the Colts game or the Ravens game? Next one comes from Shannon, who says, so let's say everything goes right for us, knock on wood, and we reach the Super Bowl. Who would you rather face? Green Bay, where it would be a battle of the MVP versus our MVP, or Tampa Bay, where we could get our revenge on Tom Brady. I would rather face Tampa Bay. I think that Aaron Rodgers is playing out of his mind right now, and it would be extremely satisfying for the Bills to knock off Tom Brady in the Super Bowl. I mean, that would be one outstanding storyline. So I don't want to deal with Rodgers, and I want to knock off Brady. So for those reasons, I want to play against Tampa Bay. Scott says, pretty simple, What would you do with Tremaine Edmonds in the offseason? A, like Shaq Lawson, let him play out his fourth year and take your chances. You can re-sign him if he plays really well, or decide to let him walk. B, exercise the fifth-year option only. Or C, make a good faith effort to extend him. I am not doing A. That's out for me. So I'm either going to exercise the fifth-year option only or make a good faith effort to extend him. I mean, Tremaine Edmonds is 22 years old. He's been in the Pro Bowl the last 2 years. He gives you every physical trait that you're looking for. He's entering his fourth season, you know, after this year. It'll be his fourth season in the system. He's a team captain. I mean, I have no interest in Tremaine Edmonds not being the linebacker, the middle linebacker for the Buffalo Bills. So I am at a minimum exercising the fifth-year option, and I'm probably thinking about extending him and maybe using that as an opportunity to get creative with potentially freeing up some cap space with how I structure that deal. Justin says, the first three plays from scrimmage, Gus Edwards ran for 12, then 10. J.K. Dobbins ran for 9 yards, and I was like, oh no, here we go. From that point on, our defensive line dominated their offensive line, continuously pushing them back. I've been critical of the offensive line this year, but they put on their big boy pants and played great. My question is, who has the better offensive line, the Ravens or the Chiefs? And do you think we could have similar success in the title game? I think the Ravens and Chiefs have really different offensive lines. The Baltimore Ravens feature these big, massive maulers in the ground game that are not very athletic, but they are powerful, where the Kansas City Chiefs really have more of a group of finesse blockers that excel with body positioning and angles and aren't really guys that are just going to blast open gaps. So they're really different stylistically, but they're very effective at what they do. I think the Ravens' offensive line is a bit more intimidating to me, and I think there's going to be some more opportunities to take advantage of mismatches against Kansas City. So I expect the game plan to look a little bit different defensively this time around against Kansas City than it did the first time these two teams met this year. But I have some quiet optimism that the Bills' defensive line can play well again against Kansas City. Danny says, so happy we won. What an amazing defensive performance. This is the most important win we've had in 25 years. However, I'm once again going to complain about our run game. Yes, this is a passing league, and yes, passing the ball is our strength, but my goodness, this is two playoff games where we have been dominated in time of possession. The primary reason is we don't run. When we do score, we barely take time off the clock in most cases. An incomplete pass stops the clock. Receivers catching and running out of bounds stops the clock. And when we pass 18 times straight, it's easier for opponents to commit to stopping the pass. We need more balance, at least a little balance. We need to be trying something different. It would be terrible to be defeated in the AFC Championship game or Super Bowl simply because we can't run effectively at least once in a blue moon. Hashtag pounding the table for Williams. Well, it's interesting. You have a complaint about being dominated in time of possession, but that is not a statistic that is correlative to winning. The statistic that we need to be concerned about is points for and points against. And while you can be critical of a game plan in which the Bills scored 10 points on offense, had 220 yards, and look at the discrepancy in pass-to-run ratio and maybe draw some conclusions, the fact that the Bills haven't run the football well has not cost them a postseason game yet. Could this be the week that it happens? Yeah, maybe it is. But you have to be mindful of doing what you do well and not doing something just to do it. You can't just run the ball for the sake of being balanced and feeling better about time of possession and that you gave it a shot. You're not good at running the football. The Bills are not a good running the football team. They're very good at passing the ball. So to me, there's like sirens going off in my head in terms of, yeah, it's pretty obvious. Like, throw the football because that's what you do best. Would it make you feel better if the Bills lost a game but they had more balance and one time of possession? No. Do what you do well. Give yourself the best opportunity to move the football and score points. And that is emphatically and unequivocally throwing the football for the Bills. And I think for the first time, we can really connect the dots between lackluster offensive performance and a lack of run game. But again, the Ravens shut down Derrick Henry. Why do we think Devin Singletary was going to be the second coming of Barry Sanders against that defense? It wasn't going to happen. I think the Bills played the game offensively that they needed to get the win. And that was complemented by an elite defensive performance. Do I wish the Bills ran the ball better? Yeah, I do. But it's not suddenly going to become a strength of this football team. It's not suddenly going to become something they do well just because they run the ball more to achieve more balance. So I'll be concerned with it when it matters, right? Like when it costs the Bills a game. But for now, the Bills are 15-3 this year. They scored over 500 points in the regular season, the number one scoring offense in the AFC. I can't be concerned about it right now because they're winning. So we'll see. Maybe I'll feel differently if they don't run the ball well and they lose to Kansas City. But there's been no correlation, especially for this team, when it comes to running the football and winning football games. There is a correlation between passing the football and winning football games, and I want the Bills to stick with that. All right, folks, that'll do it for us today here on the podcast. We're going to focus in on these Kansas City Chiefs heavily the rest of the week. Tomorrow, our comprehensive primer. Thursday, we're going to talk to the host of Locked On Chiefs to get their perspective on this football game. Friday, leftover thoughts. We'll talk to banged up Bills about injuries and, of course, my predictions for Sunday night. Don't miss it. I kindly ask that you share, subscribe, rate, and review the podcast. And I look forward to catching up with you again tomorrow.